Father God, my prayer is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? On this Pentecost Sunday, that's the question I want to ask. What does it mean for them? What does it mean for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't know whether you feel that your life is being overtaken by gadgets and gizmos that need recharging. Is it just me? But just about anything these days needs recharging. You've got to plug it in, whether it's a phone or a camera or a shaver or an MP3 player or an iPod or an iPad or an iThis or an iThat. I don't know. And if it isn't that, then, you know, just to try and help out in the environment a bit and not buy batteries all the time, you get rechargeable batteries. So you have a battery charger. And every single one of them comes with a different lead. So you end up with wires all over the place waiting for the next charge. Even my beloved Kindle needs to be charged occasionally, although it's pretty good at holding its charge because it's got a battery in there. And one thing I do my head in, my children, for their cameras and things, always want the next set of rechargeable batteries. But they're not very good at giving me any advance notice. And I end up with batteries here and batteries there, and I look at them and I think, well, which are the charged batteries and which are the uncharged batteries? And I know you can find out, but it just takes your whole life putting batteries in. Does that one work? That one doesn't work. Is it a pair? Is it both of them? Does one work and one? And I've come to the conclusion, and I'm becoming obsessive about this, I'm sticking stickers on now, and I've got an in and an out. Still doesn't work. You ask my wife, I do. It does my head in. I have got stickers on. You can't tell with these rechargeable batteries, you cannot tell by looking at it whether it's got any charge or not. They look the same to me. And my question, you know, in terms of those of us here as a Christian, how can we tell if we're full of the Holy Spirit? As a Christian, we don't look any different, do we? What will tell us if we're filled with God's Holy Spirit or not? Because it's easy not to be. And just like you can't drive a camera with clapped out batteries that have no charge left in them, it's impossible to live successfully as a Christian without being full of God's Holy Spirit. It's important. It's important. It's for everyone. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. All of them there were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first time I ever came anywhere near Faversham was in a car that wouldn't go very much. It was Christmas. I can't remember exactly which year. We didn't have any children. It usually takes an hour to go from Gravesend, where we live, to Dover. Something like that. Christmas Eve, it took us 8 hours to get from Gravesend to Dover. This car kept cutting out. Our little brown Mini. You'd be driving along and all of a sudden everything would go. And it was pretty poor weather and we had the lights on and the lights just went. All the electrics went. The engine stopped and you were coasting. I'm convinced on that occasion we pushed it most of the way. We came off the M2 because we thought we were getting dangerous. Every time we got the thing going again, it cut out. And we stopped. We stopped on the A2 outside Faversham near the newsagents because there was a phone box. And we phoned Sam's dad. And as I remember it, he couldn't really do very much. He just encouraged us to keep pushing, I think. But But we eventually got to Dover. In fact, it was even worse on the way back, it was my memory. And on the way back, the AA came out and they put a battery pack in the car. And it kept it going enough to get us to, I think, to Chatham somewhere. And the rest of it tails off into a distant memory. But because the battery was faulty, it was a nightmare. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I trying to live my life without being full of God's Holy Spirit? A lot of us struggle, don't we? A lot of us find life very, very difficult. Is it perhaps that we're trying to live without being full of God's Spirit? You see, the Bible is full of impossible demands. Look at the law in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments for a start, but the rest of it. All the instruction given to God's people. And into the New Testament, the Beatitudes. We love those Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But you know, if we take that in isolation, that's absolutely impossible for us to live like that. It could be seen as some impossible ideal that we'll never aspire to. And of course it's true. Really, the Beatitudes and all that God requires of it, it's all pretty bad news, unless we factor in that God never intended us to make it on our own. He wants to live in us. He wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. So how do we know if we are? How can we be full of the Spirit? What does that actually mean? Does it mean, according to Acts 2 verse 4, which I've kind of taken this morning as our verse, does it mean that because we are full of the Spirit, we'll all be speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled? Some believe that's true. That's a mark. Some believe it's the defining mark of being full of the Holy Spirit. What does all this mean? Over the last however many weeks, we've been looking at the life you've always wanted. And I know from the feedback we've had that some have struggled with this. I believe one of the struggles we have with what we've been looking at, these spiritual disciplines, is we can't do it. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. And so we don't even try. But actually, we should be trying. We should be trying to live as God wants us to live. And the only possible way is to ask to be full of His Spirit. It's not that it then becomes easy, but it does become possible. And that's what God wants for us. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, their experience at Pentecost was startling, wasn't it? We were trying to bring that out earlier in the earlier part of our service. It puzzled those who were there. It bewildered them. What is going on? They didn't understand what they were seeing, what they were hearing. The wind and the flames, what was it all about? So if we're feeling a bit puzzled, we're in good company this morning. One thing was clear, though. It changed those people. It changed them in a big way. After the experience, they were able to say and do things they'd never dreamt of. Group of Jesus' followers, 120 of them, gathered in the room, been waiting, waiting, waiting. As Jesus had told them to wait, they were waiting for something. They weren't quite sure what it was. They were waiting for the Spirit. And suddenly, the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus comes upon them in power, in an unusual way. It seemed like those tongues of fire dancing around and touching each of them on the heads. Large wind howling, whooshing through. A powerful, magnetic experience of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the risen Christ came upon them and into them. They were filled, says Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And then, although they didn't have all their questions answered, they knew one thing with absolute certainty. They knew that Jesus was still alive and He was still with them. And they went out and they started telling other people. The 120 went out that day. And Peter preached the first sermon of the Christian era. Peter, the one who had been completely drained of everything as he let Jesus down. And the impulsive Peter who had always been there now was nothing. But after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became a powerful advocate of the Christian faith. It happened to all of them. This was not a Jesus that they had read about in a book. This was not a Jesus who lived in the past pages of the Old Testament or the New Testament. It wasn't a Jesus that their parents had told them about. It was an indwelling presence of Jesus himself as Lord and Savior of their lives that they experienced firsthand in their own way, in their own particularity, in their own story. So we shouldn't necessarily be looking for exactly the same experience as these first followers had. We're not necessarily looking for a whooshing wind this morning or flames of fire. God can choose to do things fairly dramatically. And I often pray he would, actually. I wouldn't like it, because I'm not like that. I wouldn't like it, but I've got to allow him. He's God. But that isn't necessarily what God wants to do. But this is definitely what God wants to do. He wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you. He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We've been wasting our time for the whole of this year looking at this life you've always wanted, unless we're full of the Holy Spirit. And that's exciting and it's challenging. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Well, we're reading Acts. Luke wrote Acts. Luke also wrote a book that is called Luke. He wrote Luke first, I think. And then he went on to Acts. And when we get to Acts, some people have said it should be called not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is, throughout Acts, seen as the energizing, dynamic power of God behind all that is happening. But it's there in Luke's Gospel as well. If you want to meet the first people in the New Testament who are described as being full of the Holy Spirit, it's not in Acts, it's not Acts chapter 2, it's not Pentecost. It's before the birth of Jesus. It's Zechariah and Elizabeth and John making way for Jesus, right at the beginning of Luke's Gospel. Of course, in the Old Testament, people too were full of the Spirit, but that was rare. The Spirit of God came upon people, individuals for a time, and sometimes departed again. Came for a particular purpose at a particular time on a particular person. But the promise, even in the Old Testament, before Jesus renewed the promise, was that there would be a time when the Holy Spirit would come for everyone. And as Peter says later in his sermon, the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children, for those who are far off, for the whole world. And the first inklings of that are found at the beginning of Luke in Zechariah and Elizabeth and John. What did the Holy Spirit look like in John? How do we know that John was full of the Spirit? Well, he wore strange clothes, he lived in the desert and ate locusts. I hope they are not signs of the people of the Spirit, by the way. And they're not. You see, there is no kind of normative pattern here. The important thing is not that you fit a particular mould, but that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Does that mean that I will speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables me? No, although that does happen. It still happens, and it's part of the Spirit's work. Does it mean that everyone should? I don't believe that. I don't believe there's anything that tells us that. What it does mean is that the Spirit will enable me to do all sorts of things that I couldn't do before. And he'll enable you to do all sorts of things that you couldn't do before. We often read in Acts chapter, in the chapters of Acts, that the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they praised and worshipped and celebrated. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were deeply convicted of sin. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they went forth in power and spoke boldly the word of God. There's often an and. Because when we're full of the Spirit, it enables us, he enables us, to do things that we couldn't do before. To be a different kind of person. That's the enabling work of the Holy Spirit in me. And it may be different at different times for me, and it may be different for many of us. You see, the Spirit of Jesus, the life of Jesus comes in, and the work of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus flows out to bless those around us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Always speaks of the Holy Spirit personally. It's not an it, it's a person, a he. Holy Spirit can be grieved, resisted, quenched. We have to be very careful that we're not settling for the uncharged battery here. Because we can, and it's our choice. What would it mean to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian? A Holy Spirit-filled church with Holy Spirit-filled leaders and Holy Spirit-filled members and Holy Spirit-filled house groups and Holy Spirit-filled ministries. The Holy Spirit with all his gifts and all the fruit that we are to develop in our lives as a Spirit poured into us so that we can pour out to other people. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And it says, go on being filled. Go on being filled, not just once and for all. Although for many of us, it's possible that we've never ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about baptism in the Spirit. It talks about this infilling of the Spirit. Paul met some folks in churches. Well, they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit, so they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And he encouraged them to do what Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, to ask. Ask for God's Spirit. And that's all we have to do in order to be filled. What will it be like if we ask for the Holy Spirit? If we say even right now, Lord Jesus, come and fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. What will that be like? I don't know. Let me read from C.S. Lewis. Describing a time when he was an undergraduate. Cambridge, I think, wasn't he? And he says this. There was just the room with its shabby furniture and the fire burning in the grate and the red shaded lamp on the table. But the room was filled by a presence that in a strange way was both about me and within me, like a light or warmth. I was overwhelmingly possessed by someone who was not myself, and yet I felt more myself than ever before. I was filled with intense happiness and almost unbearable joy as I had never known before or never known since. And overall, there was a deep sense of peace and security and certainty. What will it be like for me to be full of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. C.S. Lewis experienced in a certain way. We read in Acts time and again of God's followers being full of the Spirit in different ways. People often describe it in those warm terms. Someone once described it to me as being like a moment in our walk with the Lord Jesus where we are completely embraced by him. It's like a little child walking along the road holding hands with a father. And that's a lovely image that we can easily catch on to. And our Christian life is a bit like that. We're walking along with God. But this father just very occasionally turns round and looks at his son or daughter and grabs them up in his arms and gives a big hug. It might be for a particular reason, because something's happened. It might just be, I just love you. I love you so much. And some have described being full of the Spirit as being like a giant hug from our Father God, an assurance of peace and love. What's it like to be filled with the Spirit? It will be different for you. It'll be different for me. Being full of the Spirit often happens when we are obedient, when we take a step of faith, when we say, look, Lord, this is what you've said, I'm going to do it. And that's why baptism, as we experience it, is always to be understood as incorporating this filling of the Spirit. But we only have to ask. And during our life, when our charge is running down, or perhaps before our charge has got too low, we need to ask again to be full of God's Holy Spirit. What are the results of being full of God's Holy Spirit? I said you couldn't tell the difference, didn't I, between the charged and uncharged battery. You can tell the difference between a charged and uncharged battery when it's in whatever it's in, because it won't turn on if it's uncharged. It won't do anything. Your MP3 player won't play anything. If it's charged or got something left at least, there'll be a result. There'll be evidence. The Bible teaches us quite clearly that you can see the evidence. This is why wind is a metaphor for the Spirit. You can see what the wind does, you can't see the wind. What will it be like if I'm full of the Holy Spirit? You'll see the evidence in my life. You'll see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit growing in me. It may not be as far progressed as it should, but the patience and kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control, it should all be growing in me. The gifts of the Spirit enabling me, not necessarily to speak in tongues, but to do things that I couldn't do before. This is why we need the Holy Spirit, so that people can lead us in worship and preach and teach us in our house groups and be part of the ministries of our church, whether that's to the toddlers or the young people or the children. None of us can do that because we have natural gifts and abilities. We do it because of God's Spirit in us and allowing them to do it. Lord Ashley, who later became Earl of Shaftesbury, he told his friend Edwin Hodder why he'd spent so much of his time, so much of his life in social reform. He said this: "My religious views are not very popular, but they are the views that have sustained and comforted me all through my life. I think a man's religion, if it is worth anything, should enter every sphere of life and rule his conduct in every relation. I have always been, and please God, always will be, an evangelical." If we are full of the Spirit, then we will, in all areas of our life, be able to live for the Lord Jesus and promote Him. And Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Peter's sermon he said, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on us, and they felt they had the authority to carry on the work of Jesus, the work that Jesus had begun, preaching, teaching, healing, in all those ways. I can only give you my own word of testimony. Most people don't believe these things because they know me as I am now. But when in our church, as I was growing up, as a teenager in our church, I think I've mentioned before that the house group system there was mixed, all ages, deliberately so. In fact, it was geographical. So if you lived in a certain area, you went. So we had teenagers, we had grandparents and great-grandparents, all mixed up in the same group. I actually believe there's something very powerful in that, and sometimes wish we did something a little more like that in our church fellowship. But I was known in our house group. I was infamous. I'll tell you why. I was the only one who didn't say anything. I remember on more than one occasion having discussions with my parents when they brought up the fact that I was the only one who never contributed anything in our house group. Maybe some of you who find it hard to contribute in groups are empathising a little bit with me right now. I'll tell you this, it wasn't actually, I don't remember being nervous, I just didn't have anything to say, I don't think. But I didn't really want to. People often talk to me as though what I do now is something innate and God-given, I must have been born like it. I wasn't. Maybe I was born with a predisposition to be able to stand in front of people and talk. I don't know. I honestly believe it's God-given. I believe that it only has any real effect when I allow God in His Holy Spirit to take hold and control of what little I've got to offer Him. And I would say that about all sorts of things in my life. It isn't what we are naturally good or talented at, although God can often take those things and do something with it. But He can't and won't do that unless we let Him, unless we offer these things to Him. And when we're full of the Spirit, what can sometimes happen is we can do things we never could have done before and never could have dreamed of. So when I hear people saying, you know, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, when we're looking for things around in church life, or we're saying, you know, we want to reach out into our community and do things. Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't. Of course you can't do that. If we're not full of the Spirit, we can't do that. If we're full of the Spirit, we're saying, oh, I'm trembling. I'm really nervous about this, but because my heart's desire, it's just pouring out of me. I want to please Jesus, and He's called me to this. I'm going to do it anyway. You know, God can use that. It's why what happened in the early church and in Acts, and we often miss this, It wasn't really the apostles. That's not the biggest part of the story here. Those who've been with Jesus, who went out, they went everywhere preaching God, and when they left somewhere, there was a church. It had planted, and they went on to somewhere else. Paul did it all the time, but so had the others. Who do we think was left behind sharing the good news of Jesus? It wasn't the apostles. They came and went. It was just ordinary people who come to know Jesus and started to chat about him and worship him and serve him and so on. If we want to put that into our context, it's not the professionals, it's not the preachers, it's not the church leaders. It's us, filled with the Spirit, who are going to make a difference in Faversham or in whatever place we happen to be. Because when people start looking and saying, what's going on? Aren't these people Favershamians? I still don't know what you call people from Faversham after all these years. Favershamites? How can they do this? Why are they doing this? Why do they care? Why do they love? Why do they accept each other? Why do they resist the temptations that we all have to gossip and put people down? Why is it such a wonderful community at Faversham Baptist Church or whichever group of Christians we're talking about? How come they can do that? It's God. It's being a Spirit-filled people. I think God's been speaking to me. He's been speaking to us. Debbie shared this verse from me. She felt very strongly in the earlier part of our worship that this was on her heart from the Lord. It fits entirely with what we've been saying. It's nice when that happens, because she hadn't got a clue what I was doing, and I hadn't got a clue she'd come with this. This is a verse from Scripture. Is God saying something to you, to me, to us this morning? From 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are ourselves competent to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Being filled with God's Holy Spirit will transform us. We won't be perfect. We won't get everything right. We'll run down the charge pretty quickly, which is why we need to come back and say, Lord, I'm empty, I need filling. More of you, please, because I can't do this. Do you know we need to say that just for getting up in the morning? For going and doing whatever God's called us to do each day? And so often we forget to ask. Our competence comes from God. If we're simply trying to live a religious life, if we're simply trying to get it all right ourselves, according to the rules, the law of God, we don't stand a chance. It kills us. But the Spirit gives life. And as ministers of the new covenant in Christ's blood, because of what he has done, sharing the good news of Jesus, our competence comes from him. I don't think it's any surprise that the Holy Spirit, one of the ways in which we think of the Spirit is wind or breath. Not only Acts chapter 2, Jesus speaks of the Spirit and talks about the wind blowing where it will, so it is with the Spirit of God. Because the point is this, we can't catch the wind. You try it. Even Steve, who today I think is out kite flying, trying to catch the wind, you know. Or Alistair out there with his boat. You can't tell the wind what it's going to do. We can't demand that the Holy Spirit come in a particular way or give us particular gifts. We simply have to accept and work with what God is doing. In the same way that the kite flyer and the ship needs to set their sails or fly their kite according to what the wind is doing. We need to set our sails, we need to fly our kite in such a way that we catch the wind of God in our sails so that he can direct us and move us and equip us and change us and transform us. His power directing our life course, telling us where he wants to go, becoming what he wants us to be, doing what he wants to do. This is the challenge for me this morning. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So my question is, what's my charge like at the moment? And what about you? Do I need a recharging? Is it about time I got plugged in and asked to be filled with the power that only the Holy Spirit can bring? And am I prepared to do that today, tomorrow, the next day? And allow him to make a difference in my life and in our church and in our house groups when we gather together? That there would be electricity. I've said this so many times, I'm sure I have, but J.B. Phillips, when he translated the New Testament, said that the work he did to translate it into his translation of English, his paraphrase, he said it, handling it all and going into it all, was like rewiring a house with the electricity on. I just love that. That's such a powerful image. And it's an image of the Holy Spirit crackling away in our relationships, in our groups, as we come to worship God together, as we come to learn of him together. You know, at the very least, perhaps we ought to be this week asking that God would fall again with his Holy Spirit, like at Pentecost, on us and on our church. I've decided every time I go to recharge something and plug it into the wall or put my batteries into the charger, at the same time I'm going to ask God to fill me with his Holy Spirit afresh and anew. What are you going to do? Let's pray together. Father God, when was the last time that we heard the wind of your Spirit roar through this place? When was the last time the fire of your Spirit lit up our room? When was the last time we took you at your word and met together in expectation of your Holy Spirit filling our lives with glory and with power? Lord, you challenge us at Pentecost. Do we believe that this was a once in eternity experience never to be repeated? That the Holy Spirit was poured out on your followers for a single purpose and then ended his role, his work, in that single instant? Lord, if we do, maybe that's why we are so powerless in this age, helpless when faced with the needs, both spiritual and physical, that we see around us. Lord, as we meet here today, as we meet during the week in groups or with our Christian friends, we want to celebrate again the memory of that first Pentecost, but not as a dead and gone experience, as a living reality, as an offer made, as a promise given, that all we have to do is ask and wait for you to pour out your Spirit and you will do it. Give us, we pray, not just a moment of empowerment, but a life full of your dynamic power, an awareness of your glory in this dark and difficult world, a life-changing experience which doesn't just leave us once all the emotion has died down, but sustains us through every single day of our life. Holy Spirit, come, fill us anew. We pray this